And this is what the Lord gave me last week, as he said, I want you to share a message on the Lordship of Christ. And I can tell you something, that however this election ends up, Jesus Christ and the Father are still on the throne. They still rule and reign. God is never blindsided. He has never taken off guard, never taken by surprise. And so we trust in God to do what is right. Amen? And we're going to trust in him. And the Lordship of Christ is something that is so powerful, not only in our lives when we trust in the Lord as Savior, but we trust in God to do what is right, that he is on the throne, that he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful, and he is omniscient, all-wise and knowing, and he is omnipresent. He is all everywhere at all times. So as we talk about Christ and about who he is, not just his lordship, but who he is Lord. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, but according to the Word of God, he is the Son of the living God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is the Savior of the world, having bled and died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. He was the righteous. We were the unrighteous. He became unrighteous for us so that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. He died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins so that we could be free from it and be saved. And he is also the one who not only bled and died, was buried. The third day he rose from the grave victorious over death and hell. Somebody say amen. And we trust him as Savior and Lord when we put our faith and trust him, repent of our sins. And I was thinking about Christ, who he is. And, you know, the devil in this secular generation and culture that we live in today would like to marginalize who Christ is and magnify and celebrate the sin and perversion that is in the culture today. But Jesus Christ is the victor, and if you read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you find out that we win, and he wins. Somebody say amen. Leads us in triumph. Some of the names of Jesus that I get so excited about, I have a poster on my wall that has just a small portion of them, but I love these names that are given in Scripture for Christ, for him, that he depicts his character and depicts his power. He is called in the Scripture the Advocate, 1 John 2:1. He is the Advocate. What is an advocate? He is one who advocates for us. He is the defense attorney before God when the enemy brings false accusations against us. He defends us. He is referred to in Revelation as the Almighty God. He is referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is referred to as the arm of the Lord, the saving arm of God. He is referred to in the Scriptures as the author and finisher of our faith. Somebody say amen. He is the bread of life. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the chief shepherd of our souls. He is Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the cornerstone. The stone that which the builders refused has become the headstone, the chief cornerstone. He is referred to in the Scriptures as a counselor, a creator God, as the dayspring, as our deliverer, as the desire of all nations. He is the door that leads to eternal life. He is the everlasting Father. He is the first and the last. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the good shepherd. He is the great high priest to those who love God. He is the head of the church, the firstborn, the head of the church. He is the heir of all things. He is the Holy One. He is the Holy One of God. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the horn of salvation. He's the great I Am. He is the image of the invisible God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. One of my favorite names of Jesus is Emmanuel. You shall call his name Emmanuel. You know why? Because that means God with you. And how many of you know that we need God with us? I love that. He is Jehovah. He is the just one. He is the king. He is the king of the ages. He's the king of the Jews. He's referred to as the king of kings. He is the king of the saints. He is the lawgiver. He's the lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the light of the world. How many know we need a light in this dark world today? He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of lords, and he is the Lord of righteousness. He's the mediator between God and man. Aren't you glad we have a mediator whose name is Jesus Christ? He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the mighty God. He is the morning star. He's the only begotten Son. He's our Passover Lamb. He's the Prince of Life. He's the Prince of Kings. And he's the Prince of Peace. In a time when we desperately need peace, he is the Prince of Peace. He's referred to in the scriptures as Redeemer. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He's the root of David. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. He is the true light that has come into the world. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is alive and well in this day and age in our nation? Somebody say amen in our world. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Would you say that with me? He is Lord. Those who trust in him as Savior and Lord, he defends us before the throne of God. As we said, he's our advocate. Romans 8:34 says this, who then will condemn us? And the answer that, you know, Paul might say, I'm writing to the Romans and I'm asking this question, who then shall condemn us? And Paul is thinking in his mind, this is a rhetorical question because we know no one. Say no one. Why? For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading or praying for us. We have a God who saves us, but prays for us, and he defends us. The word Savior, I read in a commentary, the word Savior occurs only twice in the book of Acts. In chapter 5, verse 31, and chapter 13, verse 23. On the other hand, the title for Christ, Lord, is mentioned 92 times in the book of Acts. Did you know that? Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus, is mentioned 13 times, and the Lord Jesus Christ 6 times in the same book of Acts. The gospel says this, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in him as Savior and Lord? What does the Lordship of Jesus Christ mean? It literally means that we recognize him for who he is. For who he is. And we give him the honor that is due his name. Because he deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. He is worthy of all the honor and the glory because of who he is. And ultimately, it's how our walk with Christ should begin. Is by recognizing and confessing that he is Lord. You know, so many people in this modern culture, they come to faith. They say, I trusted in Christ for Savior. I gave him my life. But they leave the church and they go out and live as if Christ didn't exist, as if nothing happened in their life. And my question is for this, my fear is for them, is that you have not pressed in and you have not crossed over in your faith. Your heart has not been converted. You have not been truly born again, because when you are truly born again, your blood, the blood of Christ, washes away our sin, writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, erases all of the charges against us. The Spirit of God comes inside of us and does a supernatural work that causes our heart to be born again, and our life has changed on the inside out. We may not be perfect. We'll never be perfect till we see him as he is, when we see him face to face. But our life continues to be cleansed, and our behavior begins to change. Our thinking begins to change. You understand what I'm saying? Our speech begins to change. I can't say this because I don't know the total history of it, but I think probably in the Church of Jesus Christ, among those who call themselves Christians, there's so much profanity, coarse talk, like never before, I think, in the history of the church. It concerns me, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My question is Christ Lord over your tongue? Have you submitted to him in your salvation to say, Lord, I submit to you, and I bow my knee and confess you as Lord. Over my tongue, over my thoughts, over my behavior, over how I treat other people, over my attitude. Listen, we start off by giving him lordship over our life and recognition that is due his name, but we continue in the Christian life, as we said, by learning to live more and more under the lordship of Christ. How does that happen? It happens by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit that cleanses us and washes us. It is the Spirit of God that is inside of you that whispers into your spirit and your spirit into your mind, who tells you, I don't think you ought to speak that way anymore. You know that word you keep saying when you get mad? I don't think that's right. You know, and the Holy Spirit's in there saying, you know what happens with me when that happens? It's like I feel this heaviness kind of in my heart. You know, when I get mad at somebody and I'm so mad, I can't stand to be mad, because the Holy Spirit, it's the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit inside of me speaking to my heart and saying, you shouldn't be angry like this all the time. You should submit your emotions to Christ as Lord. Now, do I fail? Oh, yeah. Do you fail? By the way, raise your hands. No, don't raise your hands. We don't want anybody to know that you're having trouble. But I'm just telling you that the lordship of Christ is something that we proclaim every day. You know, we take up our cross every day to follow him, but we also make him Lord of our life every day. Lord of your thoughts, Lord of your heart and your body, what you do with your body, and Lord over your speech, right? Lord over our behavior. The words that come out of our mouth will be held accountable for. Philippians 1 verse 6 says this, and this is the good news of that. As Paul said, I'm certain. You know what he say when he's certain? This is the eternal work of God, word of God. He is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the very word of God, the eternal word of God. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I am absolutely confident of this. I am absolutely certain that God who began a good work within you will continue. Say continue. His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Isn't that good news? That God doesn't give up on anybody? He doesn't give up on anybody. But it is incumbent upon us to cooperate with the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and to allow Christ to lead us by his Spirit into walking in under the lordship banner of Christ over us. I've seen different times Christians and churches put up at the entrance of their city or their township and say that Jesus is Lord over. And then I know that community, I think, well, boy, they sure don't live like their Lord, like he's Lord. But whether they do or not, Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And nothing changes that. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that proclaim him as Lord. Let me just share just a little bit of them. Acts chapter 2 verse 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, speaking of Christ, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And John chapter 13:13 says, you call me, Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am teacher and Lord. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, sanctify or make holy Christ as your Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Acts 10:36 says, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Revelation 17:14, these will wage war against the Lamb, forces of the Antichrist. And they'll wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will do what? He will overcome. Why? Because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful, the people of God who have been redeemed. Revelation 19:16 says that on his robe and on his thigh, speaking of Christ, the Christ of Revelation, that he has a name written called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think the scriptures are very adequately support that Christ is Lord and King. So why is Christ proclaimed to be Lord? What are some of the reasons why? Number one, he is Lord by virtue of just who he is. Just who he is. That's who he is. He can't be anything other than who he is. And when we come together, and like we were this morning, part of our worship is is in the songs that we're singing. And we're singing not just words, but I believe that the people who trust in Christ as Savior, when we begin to sing and worship, it's words that are resonating in our spirit, and they rise up into our body, and they come out through the mouth. And what we're doing is we are acknowledging His Lordship and acknowledging His splendor, acknowledging how beautiful He is, acknowledging that He is Christ, the Son of the living God. He is our Savior, and He is our Lord. We begin to worship Him like that. The Spirit of Christ rises up within us. But He is referred to in the Scriptures, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, as supreme over all. What does it say there in verse 15? It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, you know, people say that God is invisible. God is a spirit. Jesus said that. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's not an idol. He's not made out of clay or made out of wood, carved out of wood. He's not formed by an artist with gold and silver or any precious stones. He is God. He is a spirit. And people looking for Him and searching for Him. And God said, I'm going to send a miracle to the earth as a gift to the world. God so loved the world that He gave us a gift, the gift of His one and only Son, the second person of the Godhead of the Trinity. I'm going to send you as a seed in the womb of a virgin. And you're going to be born as flesh and blood. And you're going to be tempted in all manner, like unto them. And yet you will be without sin. And when you go to the cross, which is your destiny, my plan of salvation, you're going to bleed and die. You're going to suffer. You're going to be tortured. And because of your innocence, you're going to take on the form of the guilty, take the sins of the world, and you're going to suffer the separation between God and man. You're going to experience death, but because you are sinless, I'm going to raise you up from the dead the third day, and you're going to be victorious over the grave, and then people, human beings, can be saved. They can find eternal life. He is who God sent to be a visible representation of who God is. And I always say this, the visible representation of who He is. What does that mean? I think one of the biggest representations of that in my mind, my heart, is Jesus healed a lot of people, right? That is who God is. God is a healer. Why did He heal? He healed because of compassion and mercy. Right? Compassion and mercy. He didn't heal because people deserved it. Right? People didn't deserve to be healed. They deserved to suffer. We're sinners. And yet God said, I'm going to send Christ into the world to represent who I am. It wasn't just a physical representation of who He is. He had a body. But it was who and what God did. And He released healing to people. One of the, he opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears, right? You remember that? Read the Bible. And He did incredible things, wonders, signs and wonders followed Him wherever He went. He healed lame people who had never walked. He restored them to perfect health. He cast out demon spirits and freed people from the demonic oppression. But one of the greatest things He did when He healed lepers, but there was one leper in particular. And this leper was so pathetic. And I don't know how far the leprosy had progressed in his body, but I think it was very severe. Maybe even to the point of death. But he was suffering. The loss of limbs, fingers, maybe toes, feet. I don't know. But he was a beggar in filthy rags. And he cried out to Jesus. And he wasn't supposed to do that. He's supposed to separate and be away from the, but he cried out and he said, Lord, if you will, if you're willing, you could heal me. And you know what, Jesus, this is who God is, okay? The representative of who God is. Jesus said, I will. Now, other times, Jesus just spoke the word, go wash in a pool or go do this, put mud in your eyes and then wash it out in this pool and then they came out seeing. And, you know, he did things different ways. How many know God is full of ideas? He is unpredictable. About the time you think you got him figured out and you got him in a box, you are shocked. It's like, oh, he doesn't fit in that box. And he bursts out and shows that he's beyond what we can contain. But he went up to this leper, and instead of speaking the word, you know, he walked over and he touched him. He laid hands on him. He said, did he put surgical gloves on, Pastor? Did he have a mask on? No, he didn't have surgical gloves. Or he touched him with his hands. And this man was healed. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not be comfortable touching somebody who's covered with leprous spores and open wounds and oozing pus and blood. But this is who God is. He loves us so much that no matter how ugly our lives are, how ugly the things that we have done are, that he's willing to touch us. He touches the untouchable. And he releases healing and comfort. He could have spoken the word over that man, but you know what I think that man, this is just me, I go to heaven, I'll find out I'm right, I think, but that man needed to feel human touch once again. Nobody had touched him for probably years. He needed somebody to touch him. We all need somebody to touch us, don't we? Don't we? We need comfort. We need to know that somebody really cares. And Jesus touched the leper. That shows who God is. He's showing the character of God and the heart of God. Can I tell you, take this a step further? We have been, and those here and those watching who have trusted in Christ have been redeemed by the power of his blood. Our sins are washed away. Our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Spirit of God is in us, the hope of glory. We are, listen to this, we are the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece, the ears of Jesus. We are, what did Jesus say? You're the body of Christ. He's the head. That's what Colossians says. He's the head of the body. So what's the head do? The head turns this way and that way. And when he turns his head, we're supposed to look at what he's looking at. When his hands are reaching out in the spiritual realms, we're supposed to be in tune with Christ and he is our Lord. We reach out where his hands reach. When he speaks and he's speaking a word of comfort or love or encouragement to somebody, when we hear him speak and the Spirit of God is telling us, we're supposed to speak up and we become actually kind of the words of God. And that is what lordship means, is that we're going to be in tune with him and we're going to be his hands and his feet, his words. Somebody say amen. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything. He was created and is supreme over all creation. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Did you know that one day at the judgment seat, at the final judgment, that those in this world, kings and peasants alike, different colors of people, different ethnicities, are going to stand before the great judgment seat of God, the white throne judgment, and they're going to give an account of their life, and they rejected him in life, they shook their fist in his face and said, you'll not tell me what to do, I don't believe in you, but one day they're going to stand before the God they said they didn't believe in, the God that they spurned, the God that they cursed, the God's people who they persecuted, and God is going to say, you're going to bow your knee, and you're going to confess that Jesus Christ, my son, is Lord. Now, I think the most wonderful thing of all, it's the good news, the gospel, is we get the opportunity to do it willingly in this life. We can do it willingly. And at the moment that we got saved, I was just a week ago, actually last Sunday was my spiritual birthday. And I remember that every year. It was November 1st, 1969. A 14-year-old boy went to a Kansas City Youth for Christ rally. Didn't know what a rally was. Thought it was a political rally. It was the only rally I ever heard of. And I thought, oh, it's a kind of interesting. I'm 14. I'm going to a political rally. I didn't know what it was. But I got there, and they preached a message of salvation that I understood at my age level. And I got up and went down to the altar, and I confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. And I had to look down on the way out of the prayer room, going down the aisle with 1,000 other teenagers there. And I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, I'm walking on air. I feel like I'm walking on air. My heart was lifted. My sins forgiven. The spirit of suicide, rejection was cast out of me at that moment. And I was saved, saved to the uttermost, as the song says. Sins forgiven, a new lease on life, not just a new lease on life, but eternal life. I didn't even fully understand what I had been given, but I knew I liked it. I liked it a lot. It transformed my life. I confessed him. What did I do? I confessed him as Lord. Many, many times, multiple thousands of times since that time, I have kneeled on my physical knees. A little harder for me to do that now. It's hard to get up, but I kneel and I confess Christ as Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for washing me in your blood. Thank you for putting my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I say that a lot. In the shower, it's like, oh God, thank you. Thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Identified as his. Identified as Tim Hawthorne at the judgment. His name's there. Oh, he confessed Christ as Lord while he was alive in the earth. Welcome to heaven, Tim. That's awesome, isn't it? That's the hope that we have. He's supreme. He's highly exalted. I confess him as Lord and Savior. And secondly, he is the creator of everything. Colossians 1:16, you know, we think of, oh, God created, but for through him, through Christ. Listen to this. Through Christ, God created everything. The Father, through Christ, his Son, created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. And listen to this. He made the things that we can see. And listen to this. He made the things we can't see. Such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities, and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. You know, there's things in the unseen realm that the physical eye cannot see, like coronavirus and H1N1. But can I you know, something that just resonates in my spirit. I have a passion for this. Is at the name of Jesus, COVID-19 has to bow its knee. And I know it's taken its toll. And I know that people have died, even godly people have died. But in the name of Jesus, I confess that COVID-19 has to bow its knee at the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. And we need to continue to pray for a death of that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that it will die and it will leave. He's the creator of all things. He created everything. You know, it's like Jesus is referred to as the living word, the word that came down from heaven, the bread that came down from heaven, but he's the living word. You know, we have the written word, we have the living word. When God the Father had a concept and a creative idea of creating the heavens and the earth and creating all that it is, he created through his son, the word, spoke, and the spirit moved. The work of the Trinity to create everything was there, but Christ was there, and through him, God created. He created everything that we see and the things that we can't see. He's also the eternal God. Colossians 1:17 goes on to say, Paul says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. What does that mean? It means that as the Son of God, he was born in Bethlehem, celebrated Christmas time as a babe in the manger. But that was only his incarnation, his body that was created. But he's the creator. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exists and existed eternally. They have no beginning and no end. That's who Christ is. We talk about worshiping. Worship him for who he is. Acknowledge him as Lord because of who he is. This is who he is. This is who he is. He's the eternal God. He will never experience death. Christ experienced death in his body, but alive in his spirit of who he is. Can I just tell you that that gives me great comfort, because it means that there's no expiration code on my salvation. There's not an expiration date on my life, only my body, but I will live eternally, and God will create a new body likened unto his. He's also the head of the church. We mentioned that earlier. Colossians 1:18 says that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme of all who will rise from the dead. He is the first in everything. He has priority. Really, that's a definition of what lordship means, is that we put him first in everything. He's already first. What are we doing when we put him first? We're only acknowledging what God has already done. Coming into agreement with heaven is that Christ is supreme over all, that he is first in all things, that he is the head of the church. We're acknowledging that. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I thought you were the head of the church. No, I'm not the head of the church. I'm just a pastor. I'm an under-shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's supreme over all. A second point is, he's Lord by virtue of what he has done. He has done great things, the psalmist said. You know, one of I think the greatest thing he ever did for me personally was forgave my sins. Wrote my name in the book of life. But what he has done incredibly for all mankind is he died on the cross. He's the redeemer of all mankind. Listen to this, of all mankind. There is no limit to the power that is in his blood. There is no expiration date of his blood running out of power to forgive sins. And once we're saved, once we are redeemed, bought off the slave market of sin is really what that means. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. John 1:5 says this, is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. Never runs out of power. He's the redeemer of all mankind. And Colossians 1:19-20 says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. To be a recipient of that peace, you have to trust in Christ to receive the free gift of God. What else did he do? By his grace, he included me. And I think that's pretty incredible. He included you. You know, there's some things in life, you know, we go through grade school, especially back before they gave a trophy to nobody who achieved anything, like they do today, that everybody deserves a trophy, even if they didn't win. We don't want them to feel bad. Back in the day, when we did sports in the old days, we'd line up, just one example, okay? Line up, and you'd have two captains, and they're usually the biggest and the strongest, the best athletes, and they would take turns picking people on their team. You know what? Some people they didn't want to include, right? And maybe you were that way. Maybe you went to school that way, but I was always, when that happened, my hands would sweat. You know, because when I was a kid, I was under the control of a spirit of rejection. You know, didn't feel good about myself, but I thought, man, I want to play, but this is embarrassing. I wish they wouldn't do this, because I'd wait, and are they going to pick me? They'd pick the best, and finally they'd get down to me. And, oh God, I'm included. I'm relieved. Then look back and see the kids that were last. I think, boy, I'm glad I'm not last. You know what? God put you first. He died on the cross for you. He included you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He included me. There's an old hymn that, you remember the old hymn, some of you don't, that he included me. And I used to love to sang that with such gusto because I think he saved me. He included me in his plan of salvation. And Paul says that in Colossians that he goes on to say that he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you, he says, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. And yet now, what did he do? He has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, what happened? He has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I say, how can that be? Because I have so many faults. It's because the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin and unrighteousness that we have, according to the word of God, access to the very throne of God to receive help and mercy in a time of need. We don't have to worry that when we approach his throne, he's going to reject us, that the guards are going to come take us away. How dare you try to approach the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No, by his blood we have access to receive help and mercy in a time of need. Have you found that to be a blessing in your life and your walk with God? Is that he included you and you can approach his very throne to receive help and mercy in a time of need? Why else is he called Lord? Why is he Lord? By virtue of the call to ministry. Paul had this incredible call to ministry. We have an incredible call to ministry. Pastor Mike, Nick, and Diana, and others, you know, have a call to vocational ministry, the gifts that Christ gave to the church, according to Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. But every one of us, when we are saved, are called into ministry. And Paul particularly says this with a thrill, and he had this thing that he was the persecutor of the church, the least deserving to even be saved, much less to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, to be a preacher of the gospel. But he says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. And so what does he do? What do we do about that? Paul says, he said in verse 28, we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. Do you have a heart and a compassion for lost people? Do you care whether your friend or your neighbor or your relative is going to go to hell or to heaven? And if you care and you have compassion, what do you do about it? Are you like Paul, who says, God has given me the responsibility, so therefore I tell others about Christ? Or do you withdraw because you're embarrassed, shy? What do you do? Is he Lord over your life, or is he not? That's the question. Paul goes on to say, you know, we want to present people perfect in their relationship with God. And he says that talks about leading them to Christ, but also discipling them, right? And he says, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power and his works within me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back as I close this out. Question again, I asked you this earlier. Have you, those watching online, and those in this room, in this worship center today, have you made him Savior and Lord over your life by trusting and receiving him, repenting of your sins? Because, as we said earlier, there will be a day of reckoning when every single person who has ever lived in all of history and all creation who have not received Christ as Savior will stand before what the book of Revelation says is called the Great White Throne Judgment to give an account of their life. And of that judgment, it says that kings and peasants of like, rich and poor, when God calls the judgment, he calls the dead from the sea and those from wherever they are to stand before his throne to give an account. And it says that the kings of the earth will cry out for the mountains to fall on me and hide me from the one who is seated upon the throne. But those who have trusted Christ as Savior, we don't need to fear, because we won't stand at that judgment. We will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine our salvation, but to receive rewards or loss of rewards for the works that we have done. But there is a day of reckoning That's why people need to be saved. That's why we need to tell them about the gospel. Those who have chosen to proclaim his Lord in life will be saved in the judgment, and those who rejected him will be rejected by him in judgment. Paul prophetically proclaims that on the day of judgment, that every person who has ever lived in every generation since creation will bow their knee and confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. As I said earlier, we get to do it freely in this life and not by force when we stand before God. Matthew 7:21, remember this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. In other words, there's many people that are going to be, in this spoken about in Scripture, who call him Lord, but they don't live like it. And they'll stand before him, and Jesus said, oh, tell Jesus, oh, we did wonderful works in your name. We performed miracles and signs and wonders. And Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, there are people who say that Christ is Lord, but those who make Christ Lord and live like he is Lord. And so I ask you today to search your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where you're at in that. Have you been compromising? Have you been living with one foot in and one foot out? Time to repent. Turn your life to Jesus. And by the way, when we call him Lord and he is Lord of our life, we associate with and we worship with the church. Somebody says, well, I can get saved and never go to church. Well, that might be possible. I think the jury's out. But God created us to be together. And I know through the COVID, this is an exception, but if you're concerned about that, but we belong together. And I know there's some people who are not concerned about the COVID, but they're mad because they have to wear a mask or asked to wear a mask. And I think that's childish. Kindergarten Christianity. Amen? It's kindergarten Christianity. And I think you need to get over it and repent. But let's bow for prayer. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you for the Lordship of Christ. We thank you that he is Lord. And that God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to proclaim him Lord in this life. And God, we thank you that he'll be proclaimed Lord by every person that ever lived in the judgment. Lord, to honor him and to the glory of God. But we thank you today, Lord, for our salvation, for the Spirit of God that lives within us. We pray that you would bless us and draw us close to you. We thank you for the wonderful anointing and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit during our worship. We pray that he would show up even now as we go to the altar today, Lord, to pray and to be prayed for. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would do signs and wonders and miracles, Lord, in the house of the Lord today. And Lord, heal bodies and touch lives, God, we pray. We pray for those who have COVID, those who have had a diagnosis of cancer or some other disease. Lord, we pray for them in Jesus' name for the unleashing of the healing virtue from the body of Christ by the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and we bless the people by your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.